Beautiful, thank you. So it's Pentecost Sunday, and it's all about the brightness of the red glow and the fire and flame. We got into the chapel this morning for worship and found that the candles had completely melted. And they were all down in the holders, and it was a mess. What an odd thing. I don't think I've ever had that happen. And for that to happen on Pentecost Sunday, when hearts are supposed to melt, and when presumptions are supposed to melt, and when... That's just really odd. And I have yet to learn exactly what happened, but I believe it may have had something to do with the air conditioning repair this week down in that part of the building and just outside the chapel. Somebody had come into the chapel and turned the heat on and the thermostats all the way up. And when Lou Ann Huffman got to the chapel this morning, it was like 90 degrees in there. So if I was a candle... And maybe if I wasn't, I would have melted too. It's interesting that we are all about fire and flame on Pentecost Sunday, and the sermon begins like this. Once upon a time, there was a piece of iron which was very strong and very hard. Many attempts had been made to break it, but all had failed. "I must master it," said the axe. And his blows fell heavily on the piece of iron. But every blow only made the axe's edge more blunt until it finally ceased to strike and gave up in frustration. "Leave it to me," said the saw. And it worked back and forth on the iron's surface until its jagged teeth were worn and broken. And then, in despair, the saw quit trying and fell to the side. "Ah," said the hammer, "I knew you two wouldn't get it. I'll show you how to do this." But at the first fierce blow, the head of the hammer flew off, and the piece of iron remained just as before, proud and hard and unchanged. "Shall I try?" asked the soft flame. "Forget it," everyone else said. "What can you do? You're too small and you have no strength." But the small, soft flame curled around the piece of iron and embraced it and never left it until the iron melted under its warm and irresistible influence. There's a sermon there somewhere. Let's see if we can dig it out. Perhaps it means that God's way is not the way of force, but the way of love. God's way is not to break hearts, but to warm them, or even maybe to melt them. Perhaps it means that our calling is to melt hearts under the irresistible warmth of God's gracious love. That's the story of Pentecost. Hearts on fire and strangely warmed, as in the Methodist tradition. Passion stirred and faces reflecting the glow of it. It's why we have the cross and the flame as the well-known logo of the United Methodist Church. Usually, fire turns things to ashes. But in the springtime of the Christian year, we begin Lent with brokenness in ashes. We talk about Ash Wednesday and how it begins the cycle of Lent and Holy Week, leaning toward resurrection and Easter. But even the victory of Easter resurrection is not the last trumpet to sound. Then comes Pentecost today. The Lord's gracious resurrection is completed in the blessing and full Spirit, pouring power upon the early church and all of its leaders. They and we burn forward toward the warmth and fire of Pentecost. Today we celebrate the story of Pentecost with wind and flame. Both of these are strong, natural elements which are essential to living. It's not surprising that they are used in the Bible as strong images of the power and essence of God. So we celebrate Pentecost with wind, the rush of a mighty wind, and with tongues of fire here and here and in our souls. Pentecost marks the actions of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, and the completion of the three in one. Pentecost continues to unfurl the story of the loving Creator made genuinely and verifiably human in the incarnation of the Savior, and made powerful and persuasive in the spirit of wind and flame. It's why we have, as part of our Methodist symbol, the cross and flame. The cross, of course, to represent resurrection of Christ our Lord, and the two parts of that flame there to remind us of the warmth and passion of Pentecost. Our founder, John Wesley, spoke of having his heart strangely warmed upon his conversion experience and moment. His heart strangely warmed by the Holy Spirit, by the fire and flame of Pentecost. We have some 17 youth going to camp at Bridgeport Conference Center in a few days. It's going to take both of our church vans to get them there, and of course, we'll have two adults in each one. That's the deal these days. Kathy and I get to go drive the big van and take a load of them to Bridgeport. We know the way. Many of you know that we served 4 years at First UMC in Bridgeport before we landed here in Commerce. And in a couple of weeks, we'll have been here a full year. The years that I directed senior high camp seem fresh in my mind. 1 year we wrote in our confessions, we wrote down our confessions on bits of paper, and we attached those kind of like post-it notes to helium balloons. That evening at the end of the day, at Vespers, overlooking the lake, in our prayer time, we were going to launch those balloons over the lake and launch those prayers to God. That was the plan. It was a still summer evening. We sang there, prayed, read scripture. And later in the service, as we launched our balloons, they rose gently for a minute or more. And then, to our surprise, a sundown Pentecost breeze came off the lake. And the balloons reversed their course back up the hill to Vesper Point. And they gently sailed and settled right back down to where we were worshiping. Yeah, it's funny. A little bit of humor here and also a little bit of panic. All those things that we had written down, our prayers and our confessions, coming right back down to us or to someone else close by. At first, it seemed like a failure, but then a lesson. We had a campfire that night, and I will not forget the aroma of all those dead balloons burning in the campfire, along with our confessions, all our disappointments, and all our handwritten sins and prayers turned into a smoke offering. We couldn't have planned it better. What we confess in our confessions to God, we have to be ready to let go of, because we don't control where they go when God removes them from us. Some say forgive and forget. That's a popular wisdom, isn't it? And yet, I think it's maybe more wholesome to forgive and remember. Not that those sins need to keep coming back to us, but to forgive and remember that we have been forgiven. Not remember so we can hold on to them, but to remember that we have let go and that they have floated up, and to trust our future to God, even without knowing all that that future may hold. Living in God's generous grace is like the story of the shark and the whale. Here's where we come to the title, in case you were wondering about the ocean. Both of those, the shark and the whale, were swimming in the sea when the shark swam up to the whale to engage in conversation. And as they swam along together, the shark said to the whale, "I respect you. You are so much older than I am. And you're wiser, too. Could you please tell me where the ocean is?" Well, the whale responded, "Well, of course, the ocean is what you are in right now." The shark was not convinced. He wouldn't have it. "Come on now, I've really got my heart set on swimming in the ocean. Please point me to the way, or take me there. Tell me where the ocean is so that I can find it." And the whale again repeated, "The ocean is here now. You are in it." Unbelieving, the shark gave up and swam away, searching for the ocean. What happiness or contentment have you or I missed when we were looking for something else? Something that wasn't there, that we felt was missing, or that we felt incomplete without, and we may have missed it right at our feet. Sometimes it's so obvious that we can't see it. So we shouldn't spend too much time looking for that ocean, because it's all around us. The Spirit of God is here in the now of your life, dwelling within you, within me, and within this community of faith, right here in Commerce, Texas. Look in our church family, in our youth, in our graduates, our children, our choir. Look up at our prayers and confessions that we launch, that God sends back to us, fulfilled, as if to say, "I have already forgiven you." Pentecost brings us new expression of God's holy and windy Spirit. That truth is revealed in community and nurtured in prayers. When we are in community, we feel God's holy presence. So our youth who are going to Bridgeport should find that community pretty quickly. They'll grow close with their colleagues from all over the conference, and they will experience the presence of the Spirit. See, I think the church should experience that community as well, but it's hard to form that kind of community in a room that's this large when we're so scattered around in it. I want to invite you to change that. I want to invite you to start sitting close to the front so we can be together, so we can be pushed together, so I can see you and you can see me and we can see each other and share the warmth and the glow. Some of you will do that. Some of you probably won't. And I'll love you anyway. But I may ask again. I wish we could sit closer to the front. And worship is not a spectator sport. Worship is a verb. It is an action word. It's not something we go to. It's not something we attend. Worship is something we do. Got it? It's worship. It is not a spectator sport. It's an active community. We all have balloons to launch with prayers and confessions maybe in them. And the closer we get together, the more that He will rise and lift our prayers to God. I think Charles Schulz, the artist who provides us with the Peanuts cartoons, is one of our great theologians. That ought to tell you something about the kind of pastor I am. In one of his cartoon series, he has Snoopy, that hound of heaven, saying of Woodstock, that would-be bird of paradise, "Someday Woodstock is going to be a great eagle." And in the next frame, he says, "He is going to soar thousands of feet above the ground." And so Woodstock takes off into the air. And as Snoopy looks down, he sees the bird upside down, whirling around crazily. So he has second thoughts. In the third frame, Snoopy says, "Well, maybe hundreds of feet off the ground." But hardly the words had gotten out of his mouth when Woodstock plummets to the ground, splashes there, and on his back, looking dazed. And Snoopy has to conclude, "Well, maybe Woodstock is one of those eagles who just walks around." Isn't it amazing how quickly we settle for less than what God is promising, and for far less than what is possible? I'll close with this story called The Broken English of Pentecost. Have you ever heard of broken English? Did you know that broken English is an actual language? North Carolina Judge Jesse Caldwell, love the name, tells the story of a Vietnamese woman who was waiting her turn to be examined in a crowded hospital emergency room. She gradually became aware of a situation, a frustrating conversation, if you will, or maybe it was a non-conversation that was being attempted a few seats down from her. A nurse was trying to ask a new patient for some details on her illness, and the patient spoke Spanish, but the nurse did not. The Vietnamese woman listened for a minute and then realized that while she didn't speak Spanish, she did understand some of the broken English fragments, the bits and phrases that the Spanish-speaking patient was offering as answers. Because of her own experience of learning to communicate in broken English, the Vietnamese woman could hear the heart and the gist of what this other woman was trying to say. And so the Vietnamese woman offered to try to translate the broken English of the Spanish speaker into something that the nurse could understand. She was so successful at bridging the brokenness of those languages that eventually this Vietnamese lady was offered a job by the hospital as a kind of generic translator for people who were trying to speak English. Maybe it's that brokenness is a common language spoken by all hospital patients. The Holy Spirit, though, speaks through broken people to a broken world using language that every broken heart can hear and understand. Ah, there's the ocean. Because we know what it's like to be broken by hatred, we can speak of the healing love of Jesus' sacrifice. Because we know what it's like to be broken by despair, we can speak of the healing hope of Christ's forgiveness. And because we know what it's like to be broken by doubt, we can speak of the healing faith of Christ's promises. Ah, there's the ocean. Because we know what it's like to be broken by illness, we can speak of the healing wholeness of Christ's resurrection. Because we know what it's like to break down doing church, program church, purpose-driven church, seeker-sensitive church, organic church, mission church, simple church, we can stop doing church and start doing Pentecost. The Church of Jesus Christ is alive and well. In fact, Christianity is still the fastest growing religion on the planet. But it's not growing in the north and the west, but in the south and in the east. Why the difference? Why is Christianity surging in the east and the south and not in North America or Europe? It's because where the body of Christ is growing, the people aren't trying to do church. They're doing Pentecost. Maybe it's time for us as a church to stop relying on our own powers, our own programs, our own blueprints or boilerplates or planning, and start doing what these early disciples did. Just trust in the Spirit. Not just to help us to do church, but to help us to do Pentecost. Ah, there is the ocean we can swim in. Come, Holy Spirit, wind and wind among us in fire and in the flame of Pentecost. If today is a day for you to come to faith in Christ or to come to Pentecost, let it pour upon you. If that includes coming to the altar for a blessing or to profess a new faith or a newfound faith, then let it be so. If today is your first time to claim Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we would treasure getting to share that moment with you. Or if you come to join this congregation, we welcome you and are glad to place our membership beside yours in the family of faith. If any of these is your path for today, come as we sing this hymn of invitation. Number 68, verses 1, 3, and 5. When in our music God is glorified. Please rise as you're able.
Thank you.
Christ, the light and flame, as well as the wind and power of Pentecost. Let that flame be alive in us, burning in us, and reflected in us as we seek to point to Christ in the world. Go in His peace. God loves you, and so do I.
Oh.